The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 6 of the Doctrine of Prayer, Roman numeral 11. God the Father desires those that worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. These words were spoken by Jesus to the woman at the well after a discussion of the appropriate place for worship. Jesus, anticipating the new dispensation, the age that we're now in, where believers would worship Him in spirit and in truth in various locales wherever there is a local assembly of positive volition under a pastor teacher. We have one of those, and we are blessed to have one of those, and we are here to receive from God information necessary to make us warriors in the angelic conflict, and this is your opportunity to be sure that you are plugged in, so to speak, and the way you get plugged in is whatever cobwebs, whatever problems you have, that you clear the decks and get yourself in fellowship for the moment and listen to the information to be communicated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the information provided us in this doctrine of importance, this doctrine of prayer. We thank You that we can approach You in prayer at any time, under any circumstance, in fellowship. And we pray that You will be with us this day and bless us and encourage us as believers to overcome whatever it is we have to overcome daily and press on to the wonderful objective that You've laid out and promised to Your people. Be with us now in our study in Christ's name. Amen. One of the key elements in prayer is the aspect that even when we pray, we sometimes struggle in the formulation of what we ought to say. We have the desire, we have the will, we have doctrine, but we don't always know and feel like we feel inadequate. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. We feel inadequate, not all the time, obviously. There's straightforward prayers you don't feel inadequate about, and so forth. But there are times when a believer is praying under the intercessory concept for self and for others, that we just feel like we don't have what it takes to put it together. And sometimes we even act legalistic about it. Well, I got to frame that just right or God will take it wrong. Well, that's not... that happens with humans, but it definitely does not happen with God. Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that the Holy Spirit spruces up our prayers. It is not averse to encourage laziness. Oh, you know what I mean. Ditto and all that usual stuff that people do because they're lazy and they just want to get through with it. But say they prayed. I guess something's better than nothing. Even if all you did was the model prayer every night, it's better than nothing, but certainly one needs to expand beyond that and recognize that there is a lot to be said. It's a mystery in certain respects. I grant you that. It is a mystery in certain respects. Letting our requests be made known to God, knowing what we need to pray about, what we should pray about, and so forth and so on. It takes courage sometimes to pray for dramatic things, like, whatever it takes, God, get me where I need to be spiritually if I'm not where I'm already supposed to be. If I'm making a normal progress, I'm not looking for, Job experience. But if I get one, I get one. I'm trusting you. You've got this all under control. Every day we need to be refreshed on that thought, because we wake up with the same problems, the same tests, same situations, and we can let it get us down and wear on us. And we got to keep breaking out of that. And we all get into those modes once in a while, but we've got to break out of it, just like we have to break out of being ruled by our sin nature. Otherwise, we're not moving forward. We've got to do it. God's grace is sufficient for every day. And one of the ways it's very helpful in doing that is, spend a little time reading your Bible. It won't hurt you. And it certainly beats a lot of the other distractions and things people are engaged in. Just an exercise, maybe. I want to read through the so-and-so portion of the Scripture. Okay, I don't expect, bless my reading, but I don't expect I'm going to understand. There's a lot of things, but, I can still receive encouragement. The Word of God does indeed encourage me and calm me down. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's His promises. They're greater than all this mess we're in. We're going to be delivered from it, the bad side of all of it. Learning how to put things where you need to, that's very important. Now, the Holy Spirit makes sense out of our prayers. Paul says, in the same way or fashion, the Spirit also helps our weakness. So we acknowledge a weakness. It is not anything to do with lack of spiritual growth. It's just our weakness, our propensities. But we do not know how to pray as we should. Now I ask you, how do we take that statement? Do we take it to mean we don't pray enough and we ought to pray more? That's probably true in a lot of cases. Or are we to take it as we don't know, in certain instances, all the inner working details of what God's doing? I'm praying for your health test. Well, I don't know what all God's trying to accomplish, and I don't know everything about you. I honestly don't know if it's... Obviously, I know academically that it's purifying you. It's bringing you to another level if you let it. But I don't know if it's for cause. You're out of line in some area. This is what it takes to get your attention. I don't know that. Or is it just designed to keep you on track? And that God imposed this or allowed this or whatever you want to say to come into your life. So we don't know how to pray as we ought to. He's saying this for everybody. But I think the key here is we don't know how to pray as we should because we lack certain things. We're under the pressure, let's say, of the moment, and we're praying about a situation, and we don't know how to pray as we should. But we're still praying for whoever, ourself, someone else, others. We're praying for them. And we're praying for them, under, let's say, testing. And we don't know and don't feel comfortable with regard to the formation of this prayer in its totality. So that's fine, because we get help. In the transmission of prayer, I know it just sounds academic, but it's Bible doctrine. We pray to God the Father. And the mediator of our prayers is Jesus Christ. And since he has deity, he's able to handle all of it, the load, if you will, of prayers that go before the throne of grace. He's fully able to handle this, process this, and whatever interaction there is between the two separate persons of the Father and the Son, there is this meshing and this. He's in this position. Now, of course, now he's in his humanity, too. And we have We have him as our representative, our advocate, our go-between. And you might ask, well, why do we need that? God's already been satisfied with regard to the work of Christ, so why do we need that? I don't have all the answers for you. It's not a primary subject right now, but it simply is that there is this process of the prayer going before God, the throne of God, and Jesus Christ mediating every prayer, whether it's simple rebound or whatever it is. Every prayer is mediated, and whether it's some extreme, you know, someone crawling up out of deep reversionism, whatever the prayer is, or praying in time of distress, or praying for others, or praying for whatever you pray for. And there's lots of things to pray for. And you throw it up there, and Jesus Christ is the mediator, and the Holy Spirit has a part. We pray in the power of the Spirit, in fellowship, the leadership of the Spirit, popping things into our head. Don't ignore that. You can be out there, you thought of somebody and their situation. You can throw up a quick prayer for them. How it's going to affect the whole outcome of things, remains to be seen. But you did this. Or you're just looking at the crazy cosmos and how distressing so much of it is. And you just pray Maranatha. You're in fellowship. You offered up a prayer that's legitimate. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. I think that's the key to not knowing how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit picks up the slack. You know, if you were to deliver a message to someone and it was incomplete, I mean, you tried, but it was incomplete. Well, it could throw them off, or they'd have questions. They would not know what, because you got this little, pardon me, text message, and you don't know what it is because they are so cryptic, and they don't explain themselves, and they expect you to be clairvoyant, and they get upset if you don't interpret it right. So we all miscommunicate. We try to communicate to someone. We don't fill in all the blanks. And that leaves them kind of, okay, is it this or is it that? So the Holy Spirit, what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, and you can therefore have some, you know, comfort in, I've prayed all I know how to do in this situation for now. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, making groanings too deep for words. Groanings refer to the groanings of the individual under the stress of the test. Uninterpretive, unintelligible groanings. But it's not coming from just anybody. It's not just coming from anybody. See, some of you aren't paying attention. You're supposed to look at me. And the reason you got problems, and some of them, is you're not paying attention. But I can't make you pay attention. I just draw your attention to the fact you're not paying attention. And I know it, because I'm a shepherd. And, you know, it distresses me. You got all these problems and all this stuff going on, and you're not paying attention. So, I just brought it to your attention, that you're not paying attention. Your mind's drifting. You're looking around. You ought to be focused in Bible class. That's your objective. I know you got distracting things. Your love life isn't what it should be. You had a bad whatever. Your husband spent too much money, or your wife, or whatever's going on in your head. You're here to concentrate on Bible doctrine. That's where the answers are. Really, there's good things out there, even in this life, if you'll pay attention. See, you're trying to help someone out, they're not listening. You're not paying attention. I can't help you. You act like a know-it-all, and you don't know it all. You don't even come close. Look at your life in some instances. It's all screwed up. This and that. There's an answer. Get yourself right with God and start praying about it. You've screwed up your finances. Just an example. All kinds of different things. You can work your way out of that. But you've got to listen to your shepherd. I'm not just some mouth up here, so you come Sunday to make you feel bad. I'm up here to tell you what you need to do to work your way in your niche through your circumstances. And prayer is where you start, and face-to-face teaching in consistency. Days you do not feel like it. It's like going to the gym. I don't feel like it today. I think I'll have another cup of coffee and another donut. I'm not going to the gym. And then you wonder why you're not making progress. It's an illustration. You know, I don't feel like it. That's when I'm going. It's easy to go when you feel like it. Boom. But I don't feel like it today. No, to me, it's like, go there and blow off steam. Come out feeling a lot better. It's a tonic. And I don't do a ton of stuff, but I go in there and I see these people, and these young guys always want to see how much they can lift. And they don't have the right form a lot of times. And you're just, and I mean sold men to it too. This guy's just killing himself on this machine. Well, if you do about half that weight and do nice smooth reps, what are you trying to say? So the next come, I'm impressed because there's 140 pounds on there now. I'm not impressed. Sorry, I got off topic. But you know, you need to pay attention. You need to be here. You need to be in prayer. I reach out to you for that. How hard is that to do? Set your life up. Okay, it's complicated now. You got this going on. You made these promises to these people. Tell them, you know, I'm online. I got to end this. I know where I need to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday morning. And that's it. That's NPR. I'm not trying to control you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Be here. Be around Positive Volition. Be in the local church. Yeah, we got our problems. We always will have in this life. But we're here. And this is what it's about. We're soon, the human race is soon going to find this out in the worst way. I'm just going, like the old Mr. T, I pity the fools. Well, I do. What they're about to step into with their little phones and running around here like little high street shopping, got the nice big SUV, got all the nice house, got the latest fashion on, and buying the healthiest foods in the store, and I'm getting ready, planning the next vacation. They're about to be thrown out on the street. Hell's about to come to town. And they are not ready spiritually. Not that they can't, after the rapture, get ready spiritually, but think about it. Think about what's coming. People freak out over the little stuff. Wait till they get the big stuff. And that's why we as a church need to look to ourselves first and foremost. We need to pray in these last days for each other and for this corporate church. The forces of darkness, the demonism, and the craziness that's coming down, we will see it continue. And God is greater than all of it. And we need, first and foremost, your prayer. I can imagine any number of things coming happening, but I want to stay with the truth. The truth is the truth, and I'm going to stay with it no matter what, to my dying breath. Whatever God lets the cosmos do to me, I have no control over that. I just want to be strong in fellowship and ready for it if I have to do it, if I have to walk through that fire as a believer, as a congregation. I would like us to stay under the radar, just do our little thing here. Little thing, it's a really big thing. But do our thing here and, you know, let all the crazies go up, do what they want to do out there. Because they're going to do what they're doing. There's no hope for the cosmos apart from Christ's return. So we are assured here that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Does that make sense to you? That you can't articulate. It's like you can't put it in words, but the groaning is there. But it's sanctified groaning. It's not the miserable stuff you hear with people. It's sanctified. because you're striving for the right thing. You're wanting the right thing. And you want to overcome whatever it is, your STA, your own deal. You want what God wants for you. And you don't want to block that. I don't, although I'm sure I do on some occasions. I don't want to do that. And I certainly don't want to do it in a major way. I want to be at His disposal and what He wants for me. So the Holy Spirit makes total sense out of all our prayers. Even He takes up the slack where we lack the pertinent facts. So that's kind of comforting to know. I'm just struggling through this prayer aspect of prayer. Well, you tried, right? You groaned, you sighed, and it's a super prayer. It's a super prayer. It hits the mark. The Holy Spirit could have put you a note and said, texted you and said, here's how you should have said that. Here's how you, potentially, not you couldn't do it, but I'll give you an example on this occasion. Because a lot of us, I think, when we pray, when we're doing it right, we want to cover the bases and we want to articulate stuff properly. I mean, we don't want to send bogus stuff up all the time and be off the wall with our prayers. We don't want to do that in communication in life. Normal people don't, unless they're up to something. He perfects the prayer and brings a complete and accurate petition to the throne of grace. See, even our most intense groaning is translated into perfect prayer. The prayers of the Holy Spirit delivers are preconditioned by searching each one's heart. Does the prayer come for the believer who is following NPR? Is the believer one who is striving to do God's will, wanting the right thing, and to pray properly? So again, He polishes every true prayer and presents it to God the Son, who in turn intercedes before the Father. So when you struggle with a particular area of prayer, maybe you feel like you're just running over the same ground, which people do. They say the same thing over and over 3, 4, 5 times. I already said that, right? Okay. That's human nature, I suppose. God only really needs to hear it once. He's got it down. And so these people that's why some people who don't have confidence in this, they do these prayers where they're just saying the same thing over and over again. Like it's, if you do it 50 times, it'll work. That's what the pagan do. We had a previous point on that. You don't have to say it time and time and time again. Although we tend to. I mean, I'm not trying to. Concluding remarks. Prayer, like all divine good, falls under the dictum action with honor. So trying to avoid the false incense scene, you have to have sound doctrine. D, prayer is a royal imperative. All of the directives are imperatives for the church age, we call royal imperatives, which we are to be devoted to. The Bible tells me we're to be devoted to prayer. Romans 12:2, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. We're in a conflict, and we're calling down support from God and the throne of God. As much as anything, it benefits us personally. That's the way you involve yourself in the fray, okay? In a positive way. You're praying. Again, everything can be subject to it, from a simple non-pressure prayer all the way up the ladder. All of them. You know, you're about to engage in something, shoot up a quick prayer in fellowship. See how that works for you. Pray that you can stay awake in Bible class. I have this tendency to get into the air conditioning there at Maranatha. Little lights go out. I just want to get what I need to out of class. God has something for you, has all this for you, but devote yourselves to prayer. We have other examples. The local congregation is to pray for their pastor teacher, a doctrine we may review here. The pastor is to pray for spiritual excellence of right congregation. This information is in their soul, that they understand it, and that they live by it accordingly. Certain individuals in the local church have a niche. Does this apply to you? Which permits large amounts of time to be devoted to intercessory prayer. 1 Timothy 5:5. So, you're kind of homebound or whatever. You got a lot of time to pray. I'd get a big agenda going. That doesn't mean the rest of us can't. It's just, you know, it's what people want to devote their time to. You want to devote your time to, you know, all these things? Pray. Write some things down if you need to. Jot them down. Ask God to bless your prayer efforts. Do you want to have a healthy prayer life before Him? Because He's the source of everything. Don't give up on things because you didn't get an immediate answer. Some things take decades. Some things come quickly. And everything in between. But you didn't give up. You're persistent. You keep praying. And you keep in there with regard to things. Did you come here today all kind of bent out of shape for some reason? It's kind of a mood. Well, we get there, humans. Well, what's wrong? You're acting with your sin nature. What triggered it? It's never your fault. Always somebody else. They didn't look like, act like, do like, I'd be fine. Of course, we know that's ludicrous. Exhortations on Thanksgiving. But before we move on to that, again, for those of you who are under continual health tests and kind of, you know, wings are clipped, so to speak, I devote a lot of time to prayer. I would. Watch what happens. And start with yourself. And getting your head on straight with regard to issues. And of course, we move on to, there's always opportunity to thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Well, that might be kind of hard to do sometimes, wouldn't it? A lot of times it isn't hard to do. It's just easy as pie, you know. Thank you, God, for the whatever. Anything. Just a quick, thank you, Father. That's cool. That's good. Thank you. Well, I got in, got out of there quick, and everything fell in place. Thank you. That's cool. That's great. You know? I don't give up. You know, pull up. There's a great big old line. Everybody's grocery carts are packed to the ceiling. I stand there. Sometimes. And I pray. If it suits your purposes, I have faith that you can do anything. Get me out of here quick. Sir, we opened another line. You never saw me move so fast. But I didn't run over the old lady in front of me that was trying to get there either. So you pray about stuff. It's fun. Get out there and pray about it. You know, we think of the long formal prayers in the evening before we go to bed or something like that, which I do. You know, the retire to your inner chamber where you're not going to be disturbed. You got your place. Turn off everything that's a distraction. All of it. And just pray. Get your list. You may not cover everything every day, but you get it all down. So, and be thankful, Colossians 3:15. Think of all you got to be thankful for. You're going to heaven. You're saved. That's the starter. That's the foundation of it all. You're going to get out of here in good order. And then all the other things up there, God brought you to the truth. You're in a local church that actually addresses these issues. These doctrines we're covering, reviewing, these doctrines, I challenge anyone to tell me where they're taught in this kind of detail in this fashion. Oh, every church can I mention heavenly rewards. That doesn't tell me much. I got to know the nitty gritty of it. Because this is going to be the mark of me forever. In civilization, the mark of people is their wealth and their clout and all the position they have. And that's the way it is in the cosmos. Well, ironically, that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom of God, without all the bad side effects. Arrogance and looking down on people. Won't have any of that. But it's what it's going to all be about. The one who wins is the one who has the most toys. And the toys are going to be handed out at the Bema Seat. And the toys I have down here, things I've accumulated, you've accumulated, I can't grab one of them. When the rapture occurs, they will be ripped out of my hand if I tried. You can grab your dog by the leash and you cannot take it. You're cut off from all of it. You got a new wardrobe, you got a new deal, and you got a new future. And then you get to go to the Bema Seat and see what you did and what I did or didn't do. We'll get to that. We have a lot to be thankful for. That as bad as things are in this world and all the stuff we have to see and witness, we had to put our chain up here the other day. Because parents were coming on our property, flocking on it with their kids with this Pokemon or Mon or whatever in the hell it is. And they were climbing on the rocks and stuff on the church. Parents with their kids, setting a beautiful example for their kids. We don't respect private property. It's this blankety blank thing that we're all doing now. You know what? When one of these fads and all this crap comes out, young people, I expect the older people know better, but I can't guarantee that. Don't jump on it with all fours, because you've got to be like the rest of the dummies. Investigate what it is. Find out what it is. You don't want to get into some kind of a situation because you got the damn app. That'd be a nice song. And and this thing and all this stuff. Find out if it even remotely glorifies God. Or maybe it's connected to demonism, but the people out front don't even know. You have to be careful with this stuff. It's like all these people think it comes out of Disney, it's great. It's wholesome and it benefits the kids. A little investigation might turn you running the other direction. It's occultic. I know that. I know all that stuff. It's very occultic. And so, it's just fun. That's the American mantra. It's just fun. It's just fun. Well, it might be fun chasing prostitutes, but it's not a good idea. People are crazy, you know? Lost all sense. I'm trying to stay sane in this mess. It's not always easy to do, but we try, hopefully. We're to be thankful for our daily food. I don't care if you're, you know, and I know they're not healthy, and I'll be criticized afterwards, but I like hot dogs. I like hot dogs with mustard and sweet relish. Well, I do. Not some hot dog, but a good hot dog. All right? So whatever you're eating, it's in front of you. Thank you, Father, for this food I'm about to partake of. Because there's a lot involved in you getting your belly full every day. And it's all out there. You say, all these people doing all this stuff. Yeah, but guess what? Who's holding this whole mess together? Who's holding it together so these trucks can bring all this stuff and the grocery store has anything in it the next day? They're having troubles with that down in Argentina. There's a major food shortage there. And all kinds of stuff going on. When people get hungry, they get crazy. You ever see that? If they think they're cut off, as long as they're comfortable with, I got my plastic and I can go to the so-and-so pizza place and everything's fine, cut it off and see what they do. Restrict it. Say this is no longer available or it's very scarce or whatever it is. People get panicky. Every time a blizzard comes up in this country, they strip the stores. They run around like a bunch of crazy people. Not me. God takes care of me. Oh yeah, I got food or towels. I could last probably a pretty good long period of time. Not the way I'd like to, but you know. There's no canned oysters? What's this? But anyway, thank God for the food you have in front of you. If it's just a quick sandwich and away we go. Response of believers to Bible doctrine. It's always encouraging. When I see people respond and apply or are new or coming on, I mean, I try not to get too excited too quick. But I fail sometimes in that. They're here and they looked excited. But they dropped off, you know, like a premature fig falling off of a tree. They didn't even get... Well, but I still pray for them. If there's anything you can do, whatever. You know, they got here. I just pray, bring positive volition our way and keep the dummies away from us. Keep the distractions, all these, you know, walk-ons, all these things that are interested. Keep them out of here. And it's not going to be 100%. We're always going to have some weirdo stumble in here. You know, I mean, that's a public place. So you're going to have somebody, hey, honey, let's go to this church. Sight unseen, they won't like it. Ultimate sanctification, pray for your the coming of the Lord always. Believers who serve the plan of God above and beyond, pray for them, pray for our deacons, pray for all who are serving in this capacity. Reality behind the Eucharist, okay. Pray for one's gift. You got a spiritual gift? Are you settled as what you know it is? You got enough doctrine, you know what your spiritual gift is. I mean, it's just a question. Yes, you do or you don't. You have some idea or some vague idea. Or you have some real concrete idea. I know what my spiritual gift is. I mean, kind of it's a search deal. You start off. I mean, it was easy. I say easy. It was easy for me, even though when I realized it, I didn't even know it was a gift. Because I didn't have a church that told me it was a spiritual gift. I was called to the ministry. You know, like a phone call or some kind of a deal. Before I didn't have, they didn't say, hey, you are born again with a gift, a spiritual gift. See doctrine for information. I'm not talking about personal talents and abilities. I'm talking about a sovereignly imposed gift by the Holy Spirit to you as an individual. You have it. I see the effects of people's function of their gifts. So, you know, if you figure out what your gift is and you're settled with it, okay, if you don't know, just say, pray about it. I'd like to, within the list and category of gifts, what gift or gifts I have, and figure it out, and then, God, I want to flourish under that gift. And that just takes some time, figure it out. See, some people like that ask what their spiritual gift is, boom, I know what my gift is. And don't entertain any human viewpoint. God sovereignly gave the gift. What he was thinking when he gave me the gift, I don't know. But I got it, you know, and I'm trying to function under it. God knows I feel inadequate at times. I may not appear to be inadequate like that, but I have those feelings. But that's human nature. I just got to brush that off. Figure out what your spiritual gift is, and pray about it, and then it'll plug in. The gift isn't serving you; it's serving others. That's what a gift is about, or a spiritual talent or ability above and beyond the normal. And you can go over the doctrine. Maybe you'll have a clue in there. And as time goes on, you'll kind of naturally gravitate to certain things. And you'll say, oh, I know what that is. I mean, there's a commonplace gift that a lot of people have, and it's the gift of helps. We got a lot of people with that gift. So, okay. Gift of teaching. Gift of. You figure it out as you go along. And the funny thing about each, well, it wasn't funny, but the thing about each gift is they have the same gifts in two different people, the same gift or gifts in two different people have different effects. Spiritual gifts are a very powerful thing, and it's a very important thing. What's your, we would say in the human realm, what's your talent? So your gift is imposed by God. You don't have the gift of music. You may be musically inclined. You may be able to sing very well. That isn't a spiritual gift. There's all these fundies think this is a gift. No, I don't think it is. We all can sing. So what are you going to do if you have the gift of singing? Go out and sing all the time? And we're not going to let you stand up here. Prayers of others. I thank God for your prayers that you offer up. Sometimes I think, I'm working or struggling with something or whatever it is, and I just all of a sudden, you know, it's like kind of mystical. It's like I feel good now. This is good. I think people are praying for me, or I think God is answering those prayers that they offered up on my behalf, because they know I bear some importance to their spiritual life. Enough so that they pray for this guy. God help him. You know, he needs it. However you say it, I don't care. God will interpret it and deal with it. So praying for your pastor, teacher, and his family. Thank God for his grace. I do all the time. Walk around. I'm a schmuck. But I'm a schmuck that can rebound and get in fellowship. And here I am. That's great, isn't it? Don't let anyone tell you any different. Grace giving, past blessings, surpassing grace in phase 3. Thank you for what you've got for us up ahead out there. Bible doctrine, we always pray and thank God for the truth. Keep us in the truth. Deliver us from error. Reveal to us what is new. And then, you know, praying for authorities that are in the cosmos or the establishment chain of command. This is very basic, but there are two chains of command. There's a spiritual chain of command. If you are in the day of Paul, it went from the Father. It's like a stepping deal. The Father, Christ, the apostles. That layer has been removed. Now it goes Father, Christ, and the independent, sovereign, pastor, teacher, and a local church. The star that's being held in Christ's right hand in the vision there in John 1. The seven stars are the seven pastors, the seven messengers of the seven churches. Each one was different. Some of them had real bad problems, but they'd all been duly established by God. So that's the spiritual chain of command. The establishment chain of command is, you know, the pecking order from the head of a country on down the ladder to the head of, say, you know, over the government of Oklahoma and the different officials and working your way down. These people need a lot of help today. in a lot of different ways. They really do. The world's crazy. And I know there's a ton of graft and corruption within the government. No kidding. It's massive. Like a cancer. But we still pray, and we still pray for them. And that's one of those I say, well, you know, I throw in my Romans 8:26 card. You know, that's the wild card. You'll be quizzed on this down the road. What's the wild card of prayer? Cite me the verse. Romans 8:26. That's the wild card. I don't know how to pray as I ought with regard to this deal out here with all that's going on and what these people need. But, you know, I just throw out stuff. You want to raise up somebody to tell it like it is? That's kind of fun, I guess. I don't know what I'm praying for. I just pray, you know, frustrate their evil. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to enslave the human race. That's what Satan wants, and that's why he uses governments to do it. They got all the muscle, they got the power, they got the laws. They do all that they want to do. But, I have my own set of ways of expressing things. If I'm supposed to do it different, then I'll let God reveal it to me. Okay, so final verses. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy, because we fail, by the way, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. All right? Psalm 55:16. This is when a context of the psalmist is being besieged by his enemies. And they're running their mouths and they're conspiring and they're doing their stuff to overthrow the king, to undo David. And he says, you know what's going on out there, don't you, God? You know what I'm up against. You obviously do. But as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. I'm not going to run out of my way and try to straighten these people out or do this and make all the rest of it. There's a point at which, you know, I'm going to let you take care of this. And oh, did God ever do that dramatically for him? So, on certain occasions. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Well, that's a big order. You might got to get out of this room before you're anxious about something. But at least you know it. At least you know I'm being anxious about this. I got the anxiety thing going. It's not appropriate, is it, Father? It's not appropriate for me to be in anxiety about this deal, is it? So I'm out of line being anxious about this. So help me not to be anxious about it. And to put it with you, if I have to do it 150 times, over and over and over. Okay, I took it away from you, now it's back on me. Here it is. But be anxious for nothing. You can't arrive at that with regard to certain things if you try. But in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, see, that's the recipe. Don't forget to put the thanksgiving in there. When you're all throwing these petitions and everything, thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. When you talk about thanksgiving, you talk about if you're really grateful for something or somebody's done, don't you thank them? I mean, you should. Hey, thank you for that. That's appreciate that. We do that human to human. Thank you for picking that up for me or doing whatever it was, handling that for me. You thank other people. I mean, if you're normal, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. Well, look at God's done for us. It behooves us to glorify Him and to thank Him for all blessings that ultimately really matter. Let your request be made known to God. That sounds like God doesn't know something and you're letting Him know. It's language of accommodation, people. It's got to be. God knows what we're going to pray before. He knows it all. He processed all our prayers in eternity past. Don't let human viewpoint slip into your prayer and say, oh, what good? He already knows. It's important that you pray. At least your conscience is clear because the Bible told you to in the first place. And there must be a positive effect on this, so do it. I hope you offer up prayers for this day's over about this and that. And everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, that sounds like, oh, I can just go crazy now. This is like a credit card with no limit. And someone else is going to pay it. They get the bill shipped to them. Well, in a way it is. And in a way, the possibilities are there. That's why I pray. Am I missing the point about certain things I should be praying for? I think they'd be selfish. I'm open. I'm just here. I'm your child. So I want to not discount something because it's too big. It's too out of reach. I'm going to pray for it. Help us to take care of that big financial burden, Father. You may think now if we do everything proper and we deny ourselves this and we do all this and maybe God shows it, God is we're sincere about it, then He'll come through. It's enough to say, you know, I screwed up, I did this, I did that, but I want you to help me and bless me. Get out of this situation. I'm using that as a simple as illustration. Now watch what He can do. You look to your job and the income from your job as your exclusive thing. God's got all these sources out here to help you and bless you. But you got this tunnel vision, and it's only within this it can happen. Don't act like that. And of course, always with, and I don't want anything that's going to screw me up spiritually. That turns me lukewarm and away from doctrine. If I can't handle it, don't give it to me. If it's in the realm of prosperity, maybe later I can handle it. That's fine. If I can't handle it, I don't want it. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Let's take our break, and we will. That doctrine is handed out. We'll look at it.